Well, good evening and welcome. Glad you're with me, Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Yes, that's right. We are, as a matter of fact, in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. First, it's our first show of the fall, which is very exciting. That means we're all dressed in autumnal colors. We have pumpkin spice pumping through the room. I'm burning leaves, tires, whatever it is that I could set on fire in the parking lot, all to celebrate the return of autumn here in Chicago. Very exciting. We have an odd show tonight. No, yes, odder than usual. I know you're already thinking, isn't the show normally probably the most bizarre thing we hear on WGN? Yes, of course it is. Tonight, though, we will be here until 7 o'clock, and then you will weep for a half hour while you listen to OB and Hamp and Kaz talk about the nightmare that is sure to unravel in Dallas, Texas, and then we will return at 7:30 and go until 9 o'clock for the rest of the program. So, but here's the deal. You may think, well, what are Brian and Cody going to do for that half hour? Will they run around town? Will they do all sorts of debauchery? Will they create havoc? Yes, we will be creating havoc. We'll be doing part of our podcast during that 7 to 7:30 half hour. So if you go on Facebook Live, you will be able to see us continue our brand of silliness for that half hour, and then we'll return to the air after the boys move into the conference room to throw things at the television and yell at John Fox and weep for Jay Cutler's thumb. You know, at some point, they just got to rip that thumb off. He keeps hurting it. Just take it off.
Our Adam Hoge just posted that he's on the inactive list.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
Yeah, he's on the inactive list even when he's on the field. Let's be honest. This is a disaster. It's a disaster of epic proportions.
Yep.
And listen, I don't wish for a bad Bears season, and I never wish ill health for anyone.
Right.
But if things keep going at the trajectory at which they're going now, either Hamp or OB will blow some sort of vessel. There will be some sort of major infarction, infarction.
You don't want to be around the room when that happens.
I've been around.
I know.
It's a horrible thing.
I know.
It's entertaining, but entertaining in a way where you're like, I don't want it to get too entertaining because something horrible is going to happen. And quite frankly, those are big dudes that we would have to carry out to meet the paramedics as they came somewhere. So,
yeah.
They'll be on from 7 to 7:30 for the pregame, and then they'll be back at 10:30 for the postgame or postmortem. I'm not even going to try. Aren't you a true fan? Why are you being so pessimistic?
Have you watched the last two weeks?
That's realistic. Why I'm being pessimistic.
Realistic.
Pessimistic? I think I just had an infarction. I think some vessel just blew upstairs for me too. That'll be horrifying. Unbelievable. So that's it. Karen Conti is going to be here after 8 o'clock. Of course, she will be answering your legal questions, so you can get those in. And we will tell you what the most deadly animal is, so you can be aware of it, because it might surprise you. And what surprises me most about this story is the way animal deaths happen in Illinois. You'll never believe it. So we're going to do that.
They die?
Human deaths caused by animals, I should say. So worked up.
I know.
And then at 6:30, if you're an undecided voter, please, I need to speak with you after 6:30. Because, one, I don't understand how you can be undecided at this point. Maybe you've been sleeping. Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella or one of these fairy princesses who sleep a lot.
Well, even Rapunzel stuck up in the tower with no contact with the outside world.
Probably no Wi-Fi up there.
Yeah.
Very bad reception. Doesn't get the newspaper delivered. No television or radio reception.
No.
So I don't know how you can be undecided, but we'll try to figure that out. And how will tomorrow affect your decision? So we'll talk a little bit about this debate coming up after 6:30. A lot to do, but first I got to tell you this, and then we'll do a little business and get your thoughts on this. I thought of Cody immediately when I saw the headline of this story, and then I realized it's not quite about Cody. It's kind of about Cody a little, but not really, because he actually holds a couple of jobs and doesn't live with his parents. You know how we always joke about millennials living with their parents and playing video games?
Yeah, living down the basement.
Well, it's not just a joke.
Uh-oh.
Study finds young men are playing video games instead of getting jobs. They talked about a 22-year-old who lives with his parents in Silver Spring, Maryland, which is a hoity-toity community right outside Washington, D.C.
Really? One of my brothers.
Well, it's expensive, as you can imagine, being in the Washington, D.C. metro area. One of my brothers lived there. Nice, not huge homes, but expensive. You know what I'm saying?
It's
like a nice suburb here where the home, it's not where you drive by and go, wow, these are impressive looking homes. They're nice suburban homes, but crazy expensive because of the area. All right, so he has found very little satisfaction in his series of part-time low-wage jobs that he got since graduating from high school. So now he plays video games, and it makes him happy. He represents a group of video game-loving Americans who, according to new research, may help explain one of the most alarming aspects of the nation's economic recovery. The fact that even as the unemployment rate is falling and has fallen to new low levels, an unusually large percentage of able-bodied men, particularly young men who are less educated, are either not working or not working full-time. So guys a little bit younger than you, Cody, who could work, but they're not that well-educated, high school graduates, they've decided, it's just easier to stay home and play video games. Most of the blame, according to this story, has been attributed to lingering weakness in the economy. I think it's lingering weakness of character. I cannot imagine being allowed to just move back home or stay at home and play video games and not get a job.
Well, my part-time job is not rewarding.
I don't care. Get out and do some work. So weakness in the economy, particularly in male-dominated industries such as manufacturing. New research by economists from Princeton, which is a big-time university, University of Rochester, and the University of Chicago, say that an additional reason may be that many of these young men who don't have college degrees are rejecting work is that they have a better alternative, living at home and enjoying video games. I wish we all had that alternative, don't you? Wouldn't that be lovely if that was a feasible alternative?
Yeah,
actually having to go to work? Well, I'm just going to live at home. The problem becomes, where are they? At some point, they're going to have to leave their parents' house, right?
No,
or their parents are
why?
Going to die. Well, maybe, God forbid, their parents are going to die someday. How are they going to move into more adulthood if you've stayed home and played video games because, one, you lack a college education, and two, you're not rewarded enough by your part-time job that you've decided, I'm just going to sit on the couch? What does that say for the future?
For these people,
there's no future. Because you're never going to be able to move up. You're never going to get another job. You don't know how to work. But here's the good news.
There is?
For sure. For them, they're much happier. Happiness has gone up for this group, despite unemployment percentages having fallen and the percentage living with their parents going up. So they're much, much happier. Again, they're not gaining job experience that will equip them to work in their 30s or 40s, which could lead to a lifetime of decreased wages, limited opportunities, and challenges such as depression and drug use, which both cost money, which you're not going to get if you're just sitting at home playing video games.
No.
All right, so I have to ask, at what point do we have to look at the parents as the root cause of this?
Like yesterday?
All right. 312-981-7200. Let's take a quick break. I'll give you some more of the numbers on this. But I have to know, maybe you have a son at home. Not young. I was going to say a young son. 22 is not a young son.
Give me the age groups again. The age range.
Post-high school graduates who are...
Well, up to, 30, 35, 40?
They're saying these guys they studied for this are like ages of 25 and above, 20 to 25.
Oh, okay.
So they could be working.
All right. Do they have to? Sure.
Sure. They're not working part-time jobs because they're not...
They're not happy with it.
They're not enjoying it.
They're holding out for something more rewarding.
The kid quoted in this story... And I'll call him 22, and I'll call him a kid because he obviously has no parental or no adult responsibilities.
Right.
He didn't believe that the work he was doing at his part-time job, that the reward was equal to that. But when he plays video games, he can spend 8 hours doing that, and he feels rewarded because there's progress. He has something concrete to show for it, whether it's his score or his level or whatever.
Did the TV fall on this kid's head at some point?
We'll talk about this in a couple minutes. It's WGN. We're talking about this new study that is saying young men are not working as much. Even though the unemployment rate is down, Young men who are less educated with just a high school degree have decided that that's not rewarding, so they're going to stay at home, and they're going to play video games. And the good thing is they're much happier. You know, very nice. As of last year, 22% of men between the ages of 21 and 30 with less than a bachelor's degree reported not working at all in the previous year, up from only 9.5% in 2000. Overall, only 88% of men between the ages of 25 and 54 are working, or looking for work, the third lowest among 34 developed countries. More educated young men they're playing more games, like Cody. He's an educated young man, but they have ratcheted up their gaming too. This group has an easier time finding jobs because they have an education. The trends are different for women, who are much more likely to go back to school after leaving the labor force. And I got to say, at some point, I'm looking at the parents and going, you're enabling this, so this is the future is your fault. Michael wants to jump in. He's been holding on at 312-981-7200. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What's going on?
I jumped in maybe a little later. My whole point is this, is that the parents have to be responsible. The parents are not their friends, and they have to make very difficult decisions. You can't put them on the street, but the parents have the responsibility holding these kids accountable. You know, what are you doing? If you're not going to work, do something at the house. Why are you just laying around? Create an opportunity for yourself. And I think sometimes the society glorifies gamers making $300,000 a year. And that's just not reality. They got to go out. They got to get a job. They got to go beyond high school or even learn a trade. And the city needs to provide training in the trades. You have a big construction boom. You have a lot of opportunities out there, and, you know.
Well, I think the problem is, Michael, with a lot of these kids, and thank you for the call, the problem is they just don't want to. They don't want to work. You know, a lot of us remember when we were in high school and college taking jobs that were, you know, back-breaking jobs that they're not glamorous. Everybody wants an easy path. And so these guys who are not, you know, they're high school graduates, and that's fine. College isn't for everybody. But you have to realize then that your job prospects may be limited unless you're willing to go out and work hard. There's any number of people who didn't go to college who are doing well for themselves because they work hard. That's all you have to do. You know, you can get in, as Michael said, you can get in a trade. You can do all sorts of things. Young men without college degrees, according to this study, have replaced 75% of the time that they used to spend working with time on the computer, mostly playing video games. Before the recession, from 2004 to 2007, young unemployed men without college degrees were spending 3.4 hours playing video games a week. By 2011 to 2014, that time had shot up to 8.6 hours per week on average. Take some of that time and look for a job. And again, if you're a parent of a young adult like this who said, no, I'm not even going to look for a job because it's not rewarding. I'm only making $7 an hour, $8 an hour. Well, okay. But you're living at home. We're letting you stay here. I remember when I was working radio in Southern Illinois, making nothing. Nothing. And I wanted to move back to Chicago and go and do my thing here. And the first thing my dad said was, yeah, you can move back. And the second thing out of his mouth, not long after the first one, maybe a breath, was, as long as you have a job. So I knew, yeah, they'd let me stay at home, but I had to get up every morning and go to work. And I did. And I'm not any better than anybody else, but I took I pumped out foundations. I did all. There's work out there if you want to. But if you're going to coddle your kids, then we're going to get what we deserve, you know?
What was the average you said that they were playing per week?
Right now it's 8.6 on average, but they've replaced 75% of the time that they used to spend working with time on the computer.
I remember when I got out of college, I'd spend about 40 hours a week looking for a job. I'd sit at my dad's desk 9 to 5-ish.
Well, sure, because that's your job,
for
a job.
And then I would go, but I would play some games at night because, yeah, I mean, you can't.
Well, that's fine, but they've decided they're not even going to bother.
Yeah, that's messed up.
But now they're happier. And of course you're happy, because you don't have to do anything.
I'd be happy.
Sure. If I had somebody just paying for everything and I didn't have to worry about it, oh, I'd be happy as a clam, just sitting on my big lazy behind. All right, let's do this. Then it'll be news time on WGN. I've got to talk to you if you are an undecided voter. Because, one, I can't understand how at this point in the process you can still be undecided. Even if you were, let's say you were a Sanders supporter, as someone I know very closely was a fervent Sanders supporter. Well, now we know that Bernie Sanders is no longer in the race. So maybe when it first happened, you were thinking, well, I'm not quite sure. But I would think at this point, you would have made a decision. So I don't understand it. Now, tomorrow, the first debate, it is Lester Holt is going to be. Remember Lester Holt when he was here in Chicago?
Yeah.
Fine.
Excellent.
Excellent broadcaster. Excellent newsman, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a nice gravitas to him for
very
that.
Very believable.
NBC's Lester Holt.
Professional.
He's got a son who's also in the business, does a very nice job. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be doing it. The topics for tomorrow are America's direction, achieving prosperity, and securing America. So that's what Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump will be debating back and forth.
You know? Pretty wide open subjects.
Yeah,
there.
A lot of room for things to happen. A lot of chit-chat can go on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they say that the debates are not for the base support of each candidate. Because, listen, if you're voting for Donald Trump, if you've already decided, Hillary Clinton's not changing your mind tomorrow.
And vice versa.
And yes, right. I was going to get to that,
sorry.
But thanks. I got it.
Yeah.
So if you're a Trump supporter, Hillary's not changing your mind. No matter what Trump says tomorrow, he's not changing my mind. Okay? And he's not changing any Hillary supporter's mind. That's just it. But they're both trying to convince the swath of undecided voters, people on the fence, to come over. So I'm wondering if you're one of these undecided voters, what do you need to hear tomorrow night from one of these candidates? What do you think they could say to bring you into their camp?
Or that they could say that would turn you off to them.
Yeah, it could go either way. You're right. I'm trying to be positive.
I understand what you're trying to say.
Hey, I would rather have somebody go, they said this, which got me very excited, and now I believe that they are the candidate who can do the best for me, rather than, man, I got to vote against that person because the other person said something absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let's get a couple thoughts on this. Judy's in Arlington Heights. Hi, Judy.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. So you are an undecided voter.
I am.
Okay.
I pride myself. I'm an independent.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I voted for Romney. The time before that, I voted for Barack. And now I'm in a conundrum because I'm not fond of Trump. I mean, he promises everything, but he fails to forget that you got to pass everything through a large legislation body. I mean, how are you going to get all that done? On the other hand, with Hillary, I mean, I like the ideals of a lot of Democrats, but I don't trust her.
Okay. Yeah, and that's her biggest stumbling point. The numbers show that you're not alone in that, Judy. Most Americans do not think she's very honest.
And actually, you know, I've got family members that are both. I've got families that are strong Democrats. I've got families that are strong Republicans. Now, I have a father who grew up in Chicago who is a diehard Democrat, and he's for Trump.
Okay. And so, see, and that surprises me, but everybody's got their reason. You know, and I don't always understand the reasons, but people have their reasons. So what do you think? Now, Judy, you don't know. You're really in a quandary. What can happen over the next couple months? What can happen in the debate tomorrow that may help you swing one way or another?
You know what, Brian? I think it's just going to come down to presentation, how Trump is going to handle himself. And how Hillary is, but I mean, Hillary does have more experience than Trump, but then on the other hand, Trump is something fresh and new, which is what most people want.
So could this come down to a coin toss for you when you walk in the voting booth?
Yeah, I'm just going to throw it to the wind. I mean, I don't know. It'll probably come down to, Brian, the day that I walk in to vote.
Okay. And then it'll just, it'll hit you.
It'll, yeah. Okay. You know, if it's raining, maybe I'll vote for Trump. If it's sunny, maybe I'll go with Hillary. I don't know.
All right. Well, good luck, Judy. I hope at least you're going in to vote. I like that.
All right, Brian. Thank you. Love
Take
your
care.
Show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Jim is in Grays Lake. He's undecided as well. Hi, Jim.
How you doing? Love your show.
Oh, thanks. So, so what is it that has you confused where you haven't made your decision yet? You haven't picked a side.
Well, the thing is, I don't like. I'm 60 years old. I voted in presidential elections for 40 years. I've always had a clear-cut choice.
Okay.
This is a crazy election year. I have no choice.
And that's another sentiment that is being echoed by a lot of people.
And I'm thinking of taking a third option, which is to join a wine club and try and ride out the next 4 years. And hope for the best.
Well, you know, that is one strategy, Jim.
And because I'm thinking if Trump wins, he might start World War III. I'm not a big fan of Hillary at all. I mean, this is kind of, it's a lot of angst involved here with me and with everybody else. It's like, what do I do?
What do you think could change? What do you think could sway you one way or another? What could they do?
Presentation, like, was it Judy, right?
Yeah.
I have to agree with her. I mean, if he comes out more presidential, but we always hope for that for him, but he keeps messing it up. And I'm afraid if he gets in and he's talking to these world leaders, he's going to start World War III.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, that's why I'm going with the wine club option. You know, I don't know what else.
Well, listen, send me an invitation, Jim. We might all have to sit down and have a couple bottles together.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Take care. Yeah, what Jim and Judy are saying is echoed by a lot of polls. 36% of voters say they think Hillary Clinton is honest. This according to a McClatchy Marist poll that just came out. Only 44% say they think Donald Trump is honest and trustworthy. So in a head-to-head NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, and I know polls can be, you know, moved however the numbers can be used however you want them to be used, but I'm just giving you some numbers. Just 31% said that Hillary Clinton was more honest and trustworthy than Donald Trump. 41% said he was more trustworthy than Hillary Clinton. Neither one overwhelming numbers ready to go, wow, look at this. This is the person I can get behind. Nobody, that's the thing. Nobody is backing anybody. One of the texters said, I'm going to boycott because we have two horrible choices. I'm paraphrasing the text. The American government sucks. I don't know. I think the system of government is wonderful. I think the way it's set up is phenomenal. I think some of the ways it's being carried out need some work.
I don't know that the way it's set up is that phenomenal.
I think the system of checks and balances. I think the way you don't have one guy calling all the shots. You've got a Supreme Court that's watching over the Constitution. We have a pretty solid system of government.
It's
here.
Pretty solid. What about the two-party system?
That can be changed. If again, and I said this before, back when we were arguing with Bernie Sanders and other things, if you want to have, and not you personally, if we want to have viable third parties, then those third parties can't wait every 4 years to run for president. You have to get involved in smaller elections, state, local, municipal elections. Start laying a base for your party. Build up local candidates. So when the presidential election runs around or a Senate election runs around, all of a sudden you're not hearing about, you know, after November, we're not going to hear about the Libertarian Party for another 4 years or the Green Party. We need to hear about them all the time if you want another party. I think it can happen. I think you need to get enough people really interested to stop viewing them as fringe parties and look at them as real parties. You know, there was only one party when this country started. Then Thomas Jefferson started the two-party system. That's right, I listened to the Hamilton soundtrack. I know my history. So we can evolve, we can change, but you can't wait. It's like if you were a baseball player and you were only wanting to play in the World Series. Well, you got to come up through the minors. You have to put in the season. Then you have to go through the playoffs. You can't just walk in and play in game 7. You know? But it's doable. It's just a matter of these other parties deciding that they're going to make a concerted, genuine effort. And bring your thoughts to the people. Don't just wait. And then have Gary Johnson today on George Stephanopoulos say, well, you know, a vote for me is really a vote for Gary Johnson. It's not a vote against somebody else, blah, blah, blah. Dude, nobody knows who you are, and you admitted it. The amount of people who know who Gary Johnson is minimal. Jill Stein, what? Who? I don't know. But if for the last 8, 12, 16 years, I had been hearing about the Libertarian Party, and in my local elections, there were Libertarian candidates who went out of their way to get the word out, then yeah, then we'd have some third-party choices. All right. I'm not voting for either, according to a texter, and nothing they say could change my mind. You know? And I don't believe in not voting. It is everybody's right to not vote. And then we get what we get. And if you don't vote, you have the right to complain, but you really shouldn't. You know, if you want to complain, that's part of the American way. That's great. Complain all you want. That's what we're supposed to do. But do something else. Yes, you. I know you've been right. This is nice. That's why I go sometimes on a tangent, because I see Roger wants to jump in, and I'm like, hold on. So I will just keep bulldozing ahead so that Roger can't jump in.
I'm actually going to go a different direction than I normally do.
What a shock. No, go ahead. What do you got?
Even if you don't feel compelled to vote for the presidency, please go and vote, because there's more on the ballot than just the presidency. You have a ton of local elections, state elections, that you need to have your voice heard mm-hmm. on. And those races, many of them are more definitive and less inflammatory than the presidential race. And if you can't stand either of the presidential candidates, I'm sure there are local and regional and statewide candidates that you can back based on your beliefs.
Right. So there's always somebody to vote for.
Always.
So get out there and vote. You can jump in about tomorrow's debates. What do you, if you want to make a prediction, you want to gaze into your crystal ball, your political crystal ball, and tell me what you think's going to happen? Or if you are undecided, again, what could happen tomorrow that might sway you one way or another? Maybe somebody says something great. Maybe somebody says something horrible. Or maybe you're just not going to decide, like some of our callers said, till you walk into that booth on election day. 312-981-7200. We'll get to that. And so, oh man, big controversy in Florida. I know that'll shock you. Over a Donald Trump statue. So a lot to get to before we get out of the way for Bears pregame on WGN. We got into this thing about the government and the system of government and blah, 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 because of a text from the 219. We made a good point, because they said that, you know, they weren't voting for either one. The system sucks. And then they texted back and said, I hate when you say that you don't like something about the government and people make it so that you seem like that you don't like soldiers or you don't like the flag. And I don't like that either, because you can have dissent. And to if I may quote the great Michael McDermott, a good friend of the show and a wonderful musician, in his song, The American in Me, dissent is not disloyalty. So you can question the government. You can say you don't like certain things. Just because you want to protest something or you don't agree with something doesn't mean you don't support the troops. It doesn't mean you don't love America. It just means you don't like what's happening and you're going to say something about it. And that's what this country was built on, is dissent. And that's fine. That doesn't mean you burn everything down, but it means, you know, literally, you don't burn everything down. Figuratively, you can work to change the system however you want. But, I don't like that either. The knee-jerk reaction of, well, you don't like it. We don't have to blindly like everything. You know, just like with ice cream, you don't like every flavor. So with this country, you don't have to like everything that's going on. That doesn't mean you don't respect the country. You don't respect the flag. You don't respect, you know, the men and women in the armed services who are making a unbelievable sacrifice for all of us. It just means that you're not happy and you're questioning something.
Same goes with the candidates, too. And this incenses right. me on Twitter. On Twitter, I am brutal towards both candidates.
You're brutal toward everything American.
I really, absolutely.
You really should move.
I trash Trump and Hillary both, but I'm probably still going to vote for one. But that's, it doesn't mean, I can vote for somebody and not think that person is perfect
right.
and has never done any wrong.
Yes, exactly. I don't believe that the candidate I am going to vote for, Hillary Clinton, is blameless and perfect. Far from it. But when I look at her, for me, the choice is clear.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid or I'm this or I'm that. It means I'm putting, just like, you know, an accountant, I've got columns, credits and debits. And I'm looking at pros and cons and all of that. And that's how I make my decision. And that's, you know, that's how decisions should be made. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we're not all as gullible as the simple answers on social media would make one think. You know, just like all the people who are voting for Donald Trump do not fall into one category. As I said before, everybody's got their own story and their own reasons for voting for who they're going to vote for. And we don't have to agree with each other. But that doesn't mean that you have to categorize everybody in one bucket. If I can, you know, throw the bucket comparison out there again, which was unfortunate on so many levels. All right, when we are done with this, we're going to throw to the news, and then we won't be back for a half hour. But where will we be? We'll be on Facebook Live doing our web-exclusive podcast because the boys are going to be doing their pregame for the Bears at Dallas. All of that will be made clear momentarily here on 720 WGN.
We're back.
Sure, we took a little break. Like OB, Hamp, and Kaz, Mark Carmen, talk about the Bears. Dallas, you said Dallas is driving toward the end zone?
I think so.
Shocker. First series? Fantastic. All right, we're here till 9 o'clock now, and then the boys will be back after the Bears game for a post-game show, so you don't want to miss that. I have a feeling it will it'll anger the boys the next few hours. But you can listen to them starting at 10:30 or whenever the Bears game is over. We will be here, as I said, till 9. Karen Conti will be in here after 8 o'clock. She'll be answering your legal questions, so start formulating those. Thank you to those of you who came to Facebook with us for the last half hour where we did that. We will be recording a little more for the WGN web-exclusive podcast that you will not have heard or seen on Facebook, and then Cody will post the whole kit and caboodle for you sometime later this week, usually around Wednesday. So we thank you for being involved
and
in that
if
as
I
well.
Can throw this in, I'm sorry. I'm just seeing this right now.
Uh-oh.
Arnold Palmer has died.
Oh, no.
5 minutes ago, I looked it up because I saw something referred to it earlier. And now I'm just I'm going to double-check this. But the Hollywood Reporter...
Why don't we double-check this before we say somebody's dead?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Arnold Palmer, if I can get rid of this stupid ad.
Well, why don't you look and then let me know?
I will do that.
All right.
Well, thank you.
That's okay, because if it's true, then that's very sad.
According to The Hollywood Reporter,
okay.
5:33 p.m. on their website, Arnold Palmer, golf's first superstar in the age of television, dies at 87.
Wow, 87.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. Great golfer. I remember watching him growing up. You know, when I was growing up, he was already grown up, watching Arnold Palmer golf. Did he really create the Arnold Palmer, the drink, the Arnold Palmer?
I don't know.
Because everybody talks about, you know,
right.
the Arnold Palmer. And he must have something to do with it because his picture is on one brand of drink,
mm-hmm.
has him on their can Arnold Palmer.
They have gotten permission.
Right,
him,
to call it an Arnold Palmer. So he must have created it. I don't know the history of that. I know an Arnold Palmer is very refreshing. Perhaps we should all drink one in his honor. And I'm not saying that to lighten, mm-hmm. you know, to lessen the loss. 87's a good long life. And the man did a lot of things. He was, you know, I think he lived a very full life. So it's very sad if you are a golf fan. And even if you're not a golf fan, you knew his name. You know, I think it's impossible to be an American and not know who Arnold Palmer was. You might not know a lot about him, but if you heard the name, you'd know he was a golfer. Cody, would that be correct? Do you know who Arnold Palmer is?
Even I knew who Arnold Palmer was.
Then I stand by my statement. You cannot be an American and not know who Arnold Palmer was.
Even I.
Even Cody, who doesn't follow sports.
Or anything.
Unless there's some sort of controversy. Or it's mentioned on South Park. Then he, if either of those two criteria are met, listen, I have some fun animal things here that I want to get to, but I need to address something that happened on the Facebook part of the podcast. I just realized that Cody thinks I'm an idiot, Roger. And must have
thought
this.
Did he say this to your face?
Well, yes, to a certain extent. He said, boy, you are much smarter than anyone, including myself, gives you credit for. So that statement alone would make me then figure that he thought I was kind of dumb. Would that be... Wait, you think I'm dumb too?
I already thought you were smart, but you were extra smart on the podcast.
You are backpedaling at a pace I rarely seen.
I thought you were a 9 and you're really a 10.
Oh, I don't believe that for a minute.
Okay, I thought you were an 8 and now you're a 9. Or you were a 9 and you're a 9.7.
Let's go, I was a 7 and maybe I was an 8.
I thought you were smart before.
I don't know.
Pretty smart. You got to be pretty smart to roll with me. Because I consider myself extremely... Well,
I know,
look,
you consider yourself extremely smart.
That look you gave me was more disparaging than anything I could have possibly
just now?
Said.
No, yes. Only because you... I always find it funny when somebody says, I consider myself very smart. That's why I was giving you that look, like, of course you do. You also considered yourself one of the world's sexiest people, and we saw how that worked out when you tried to get on that website.
I think you are
very smart. I have never... See, the difference between you and I is... I have never doubted your intelligence, whereas it seems my intelligence is constantly in doubt from you.
I wouldn't say constantly. That's a bit much.
It seemed that way. I'm not going to say it was hurtful. I'll say it was injurious.
Injurious?
Yes, I was injured by that. I'm going to actually see if Carrie can file some sort of suit.
Are you?
No. Why would I do that?
I don't care.
Listen, I'd rather be underestimated than overestimated.
You know, if you won the suit, you wouldn't get anything.
Of course not. What am I going to get?
Nothing from Xbox? Yeah.
Ooh, look at this. I got a PlayStation 8.
Yeah.
They don't even make PlayStation 8s. But that's how far. I would garnish his PlayStations in perpetuity. So any PlayStation he would either buy or receive in the future would automatically come to me.
Wow.
So his child's PlayStation 37?
Mm-hmm.
Mine.
Ooh.
Yeah. Christmas morning, Cody Jr., or Codina wakes up, they run down to the tree under the big dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still see him with the dragon, even when he's like 40 with kids. Run down there, open the door. Oh, Daddy, I got a PlayStation 37. And I just walk in like the Grinch and snatch that up and cackle and then walk out.
Yeah, and the kids all sitting around whimpering.
Yeah. Why does that man come every time we get a PlayStation? Well, because Daddy lost a lawsuit years ago.
There you go.
But I think it's always better to be underestimated than overestimated.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree? Maybe you don't.
Yeah.
Roger's still going, man, I hope he doesn't ask me if I think he's stupid.
I know you're not stupid.
This all presupposes that you're estimated at all. No one estimates me, so I don't know if I'm...
Oh, I don't believe that to be true at all. I think people estimate us all the time.
Hmm.
We get sized up. We're getting sized up every time. Every time we walk down the street, we're getting sized up. Every time we crack a mic here, we're getting sized up. Every time we go into a meeting with our bosses, they're sizing us up.
My problem is I'm so short, they size me down.
Ba-doop.
Thank you.
Where's the rim shot?
I'm not. I don't listen.
Wasn't good enough for a rim shot.
I'm not giving it away. That's another screen. I got to go in. I don't know where that, you know, then I got to try to do this. My glasses still, you know, I can't find
it. Oh, you're still having trouble.
Only here, again, only here in the cockpit.
Oh, because of all the, yeah.
The communications cockpit where I'm, you know, things are all askew. But anyway, all right. So we hope you like that Facebook part. And if you didn't watch us on Facebook Live because you were listening to Hampo B and Kaz, which I don't blame you, when you go to WGNradio.com and listen to the podcast, you'll understand why Cody impugned my intelligence.
Well, now everybody's going to listen after all that talk.
Sure, because they're going to go, wow, did Cody really say Brian was stupid? We got to hear that. That's going to be fantastic. And then Brian still talked to him afterward? Yeah. I'm benevolent like that. I'm a benevolent leader. That's how we do. All right. What animal do you think is most likely to kill you in the United States of America? Cody?
I'm not an animal.
What? No. No, you are not. What animal is most likely to kill you? And don't say a ferocious talk show hostosaurus, because that is a given.
A docile talk show hostosaurus?
Why would a docile hostosaurus try to kill you?
Maybe it
because they're docile. They're sleepy. It's like a hibernating animal. You can't, if they're just laying there, languid in their repose, they're not going to kill you.
And if I go after the nest? I don't know why I would go after the nest. But
and why do you assume that talk show sources live in a nest?
I don't. You may keep a nest, as an extension to your home.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in, what's that vampire show with the virus? I don't know what it is.
What?
On FX, there's some show. They live in a nest. Crazy vampires. The Strain. It's in The Strain.
Oh, if I were to get killed, honestly, I don't see animals in this city. A rabid squirrel, maybe? Actually, a rabid dog or something. Like
rabid dog.
Angry,
incorrect.
You know.
Roger, deadliest animal.
Deadliest animal.
What are you, Karnak? Deadliest animal. And he holds the envelope to his head on his big cheesy turban.
In the city, I was going to say like a wasp or a bee,
right,
but
well,
that's not
that's your answer.
An animal it necessarily, is it? I mean,
I'll throw it. It could be an animal, sure. Anything that's not
I'd
a
say,
human.
I'd say wasp or bees from the stings and the allergic reactions to it.
All right, I'm going
to
tell you here, you are both wrong. I will give you the correct answer momentarily on WGN. Before we left, Roger said a wasp, probably the most dangerous animal. Cody had no idea. Said a dog or something. I don't know what he said. I wasn't listening. Because I'm too stupid. I'm just going to bust your hump.
I can't wait.
Non-stop. No, I'm done. The most deadly animal, Bambi. That's right. You heard me. A deer is the deadliest animal in the world. That's
a deer?
A deer.
A female deer?
Yes. Not a ray. That's a drop of golden sun.
Oh.
And not me. That's just the name I call myself. Fa, of course, a long, long way to run. No, a deer. That's a conclusion. I could have kept going.
I was wondering when you would stop.
Oh, when the Von Trapps are all here. Well, where did I leave off? Fa, a long, long way to run. So, a needle pulling thread. Tea, a drink with jam and bread. La, a note to follow. So.
And that brings us back to dough.
That brings us back to dough.
No, you did. It's la, tea, dough.
Right.
La.
I did. Did I do la?
You did tea and then la.
Oh, did I?
Sorry.
Because I jumped out in the middle.
So, la, tea, dough.
Either way. You know why I made a mistake?
Because you're dumb.
Because I'm dumb.
God, you're so stupid.
Anyway, the CDC, that's the Centers for Disease Control. They got data. They broke down the types of animals most uniquely likely to kill you in your state. That's what we all need to know. So as we walk out the door tonight, we can be paranoid of what animals are most likely to kill us in our state. Don't worry. Animal deaths in America, pretty rare. The odds of an animal killing you are 1 in nearly 1.4 million. That's still better odds than winning the lotto, though. So when you think about it that way, you go to a local gas station, you pick up your Powerball ticket. You're not going to win the lotto, but you could get killed by an animal. Within those odds, however, deer are more likely to cause deaths than other animals, more than dogs, bears, sharks, or alligators combined. And they look so gentle. And to think I've had them in my backyard just wandering around freely. I know I've told you about my dog who ran out and slammed right into a deer in our backyard. Then the deer looked at the dog, and the dog looked at the deer, and they both ran in opposite directions. Who knew? According to the analysis, deer are the deadliest animal in the United States. But deer-related fatalities most often stem from accidents, not vicious attacks. All right, that's good. So is it that the deer are deadly, or they're just dumb and slow-moving? And they run out in front of cars. We have to look at this. Due to rapid urban development, the deer's natural habitat is shrinking, causing them to share more space with humans, where they often wander into oncoming traffic and cause car crashes. It's a growing problem across the state. All right, but that's interesting. So we know deer, the most deadly animal. But here's something else. So they looked at the national average about animal deaths in every state. And they looked at every state and said, all right, well, this is weird because there's more animal deaths in this state by this creature than there should be based on the national average. So in Illinois, the most unique ways to die from an animal above the national average is to be bitten or crushed by larger reptiles. Roger, you've been in the news game for a long time. Long time. Have you ever done a story about someone from Illinois being bitten or crushed by a large reptile?
Nope.
I found that hilarious. Because all the states surrounding us, Wisconsin, Iowa, Indiana, they're bitten or struck by larger animals, like a horse. So right. somebody's getting hit, you know, kicked in the head by a donkey.
Usually,
that's fine.
Usually it's a car hitting the deer out on the highways.
Well, yes, I already talked about that. You were doing something else. This is unique ways to die above and beyond the national average. So there's a national average for animal deaths in Illinois. However, the percentage of us being crushed or bitten by a large reptile is very low. However, in Illinois, for some reason, we are above the national average for reptiles biting or large reptiles now, biting or crushing us.
I will say
so
this.
I don't know
as
if that means somebody throwing an alligator out a window.
No. I will venture to say
yes.
that there are more of these incidents than you think on farms because of horses and cows, and sometimes there are accidents, and you can have if you're in a corral, a horse can pin you against.
No, I don't understand. That I get, really.
Right.
Oh my goodness, somebody's threatening to expose themselves to me outside the all-case. Here's what's the
is
most
it a
troubling
large
about
mammal
this. That... No, it's a lovely woman. The problem is she's pushing a child in a stroller. Which,
what?
That's bad parenting. I have nothing against a woman exposing herself to me through the window of the Allstate Showcase studio, and I'm sure Allstate loves their company mentioned in the same breath. However, and I don't judge.
Right.
If you're, you know, if that's how you want to parent, that's fine. I don't know if you have to get to work at the club, if that's where you're on your way to. But no, she was miming the lifting up her shirt, and her young daughter is in a stroller. This is generational training right here.
Wow.
So now, someday, don't be surprised when your daughter and somebody is like, woohoo, and you get a call from preschool.
Yeah, Mr. Jones, could you come down here? Because Betsy was, she was swinging around the monkey bars, very provocatively, and then she kept lifting her shirt up, and, she just, kept telling the boys she wanted lunch money. They were paying her in goldfish. It was very strange. She was wearing little, underoos, and they kept putting crackers in there. That's horrifying. That's it. I know I shouldn't be distracted by that, but.
Well, it was unexpected.
It was very unexpected. Nice young mom, probably from the suburbs, coming downtown for a big day, showing her kid off.
And that ain't all?
No, she goes, man, oh man. Cody, why don't you run out and bring her in? I'm going to give her a tongue lashing. Teach her a lesson. Just give me, I'm going to talk to her sternly. That's what I mean about that. No, mosquitoes don't make the cut. Somebody texted in, what about mosquitoes? They are not. Even with the Zika and whatnot. So be careful. That's all I'm telling you. You go outside today, you got you never know what could be coming. Giant, again, bitten or crushed by larger reptiles. It's more prevalent in Illinois than based on the national average. That was exciting. Here's good news real quick before we get out of here. A dog will not face charges in the stabbing of its owner. That's right. This is from Colorado. A Colorado woman claims her dog tried to stab her, and she has the wound to prove it. Mia is a beautiful, energetic dog, just more than a year old. She's lovable. She'll kill you with kindness, said Selena Hayes. Yeah, also obviously kill you with a blade. The dog's owner, everybody has had quite a laugh about it. Hayes said Mia, tall enough to reach the kitchen counter, picked up a freshly sharpened knife. The blade was sticking outward and downward. Hayes tempted Mia with treats to drop the knife. Mia wanted those treats, but not at the cost of her new knife. So when Mia went over to eat the treat, she ran the knife across my arm and cut a big old gash about 4 inches long. Never arm your pets. We're learning a lot tonight.
That's what I always say.
I know you always say
I always say don't arm your pets.
You do. Every night when I'm leaving, you say to me, last thing, hey, don't arm your pets. I go, all right, let's do this. Then after the news, Karen Conti's going to be in here. Maybe she can sue this dog for trying to attempted murder or something. We'll find out. It's WGN. Karen is here. How are you? Did you
I'm
have a good week?
I'm doing well. Yes, I had a great week.
Any big – I was looking. There didn't seem to be a lot of big legal wranglings this week. Did I miss something?
No, I think, you know, other than the police shootings, of course.
Yes.
You know, and that's political and racial and legal and everything. But, yeah, that's about it.
Since you brought that up,
yes.
we know the Laquan McDonald case here, the former officer, was charged with first-degree murder. The one in Oklahoma, that officer was charged with manslaughter in the first degree. What's the difference?
It really is, you know, the difference between premeditation. I mean, when you go down the scale of first-degree, second-degree murder, manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, you're just talking about lesser degrees of culpability, meaning did you plan it? You know, at the bottom of the scale is almost like a reckless issue. It's like it's one step above being negligent, and it's sort of like you're just reckless and you knew or should have known something would have happened. happen if you did this. You know, unfortunately for a police officer, see, when we make mistakes and we misspeak on the air, or,
right.
I make an error in court, you know, we can be sued, but negligence doesn't get people killed. And,
right.
you know, unfortunately for police officers, when they make a mistake, it's a crime. Now, right. I guess we've criminalized that mistake.
Right.
What right or wrong, whether people agree with that or not. So, according to the prosecutors, you know, she was charging, by the way, she was charged very quickly.
Yeah, you know, a couple days.
And if you look at, you know, Laquan, I mean, that took 13 months.
Well,
which
that was a cover
way
up.
Too
and,
long.
Yeah, there was
that
a
was
lot
not
going
even
on.
An issue of prosecution. That was an issue of maybe this will go away, in my view. But,
right.
But that's really fast. And, you know, I think about all different things here. And could it be that the prosecutors have no intention of really forcefully prosecuting this issue?
Yeah.
They brought those charges to quiet all of the problems that they thought could arise. And they're going to charge her and they're going to prosecute her, but they're going to do it half-heartedly and get a not guilty. And they say they've done their job.
Wow.
You know, and I that was my theory in the George Zimmerman case. When I watched that prosecution go on in the Hoodie Skittles case down there, I'm blanking on the kid's name. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
John Ford. When they prosecuted Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin, you know, they didn't go after him. They lobbed him a bunch of stuff, and they didn't put on evidence of that he had a good motive. I mean,
right.
why would you do that if you're the prosecution? Other than they can then say, we brought the charges, the jury spoke, go blame the jury.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's me thinking too much into it.
No, I mean, it makes sense if you look at all different areas where people are doing whatever they can to save their jobs, whether it's endorsing someone that they claim to have hated a couple
right.
weeks ago or,
right.
or doing something like this, you say, all right, well, maybe there's something more to it. But it doesn't seem to me that in a shooting case you'd be able to gather enough evidence and have that in that short of time.
Well, particularly because to me there's a key fact here, and it was a woman, which
yes.
is very unusual, by the way. I mean, women hardly ever use lethal force. They hardly ever get charged.
Oh, is that
they hardly
right?
ever get convicted. I don't know if it's testosterone. I don't know if there's just, you know, but even just if you look at percentages of
right.
women on the force, it's a very low number that actually have this happen to them. So, but what happened was she shot and the guy, the victim, was tased
yeah.
at the same time, which kind of leads you to believe that at least two officers thought that he was, you know, some kind of
threat,
risk.
Right.
Yeah, something was a threat. And that is a helpful fact for her, because obviously her defense is going to be she reasonably believed that she was in harm's way and that her life was at stake.
Yeah, she said she had never been as scared in her life
That's
as she
right.
was at that moment.
And it's all about what a reasonable person would do in that circumstance.
Yeah.
Not what she would do, because maybe she's more sensitive, or maybe the other, you know, police officers are less sensitive. It's what a reasonable person would do in the
okay.
circumstances. And if two people do it other than just one, I would think that would be good evidence of her reasonableness, which would, you know, then require, I think, the prosecutors to really investigate and to talk to that other police officer and talk to all of them, you know,
yeah.
over and over again to make sure that they understood what happened, because the video is not very clear.
That's what I was going to ask from a defense point of view, and you've done a lot of defense work. Is it better to have these videos? Does it hurt? Does it make defending people hard? Is it a case by case kind of thing? Because there's a debate about these videos all that they don't show everything. They don't show every angle. We see certain ones. The case in Charleston. Some of the videos
yeah.
still show a gun, but then they say, well, we can't really tell if it is a gun. It might be a gun, but then they say they recovered a, you know, an ankle holster and a gun. So who knows?
Well, I think that the answer to your question is, do they help the prosecution? Do they help the cops? It depends on the video.
Okay.
I mean, if you have a video that's clear start to finish, which I've yet to see
yeah,
one
right.
really, you know, the Laquan case, I think I've seen enough to make up my mind
yeah,
on that one.
Right.
But let's just say, you know, jurors love physical evidence. They love to watch the video. They want to see that, and they're going to make a lot of it. And if you have facts that happened before that video started, it's hard to convince a jury that that happened.
Because
well,
they don't see it.
Why don't I see it? How do I, if I don't see it, do I really believe it? And all I see is that she shot him and his hands were down. You know, that's the kind of thing that you have to be very careful with when you're defending a police officer.
Right. And so, how much weight, obviously the jury's gonna put on that, but as a prosecutor's compiling the case,
Do they put a lot of weight on those videos? Because, you know, now that we're seeing more and more thousands of video body cameras are going to be here on Chicago, they're all around the country. Are they given the weight that they deserve, or is it still to a point where there's so much question about whether they're reliable, what they actually see, are they on, are they off? It seems like a very flawed system to put that much thought into.
You're right, especially when we don't see all of it. It's sort of like seeing portions of a movie and coming to conclusions when you haven't seen the whole plot and the whole start to finish. And, you know, and so much of that does matter in a case like this. What was her expectation coming into it? What was he doing before this all happened? And again, you might see his hands down, but you can't see if he had a gun. Did it look like he had a gun? Did it look like he had a book? Could they see it? Could they not see it? You know, how goofy was he acting? What did that make her think at the time? Was it reasonable for her to think if he's on PCP that he's, why did he go to the car? How did he go to the car? Some of those things, you know, she's going to have to explain second by second what she was thinking about. And it's hard to dissect that.
Charges have been filed. She's out on bail.
Right.
How long do you think it'll take before this goes to trial? Do you think, based on how quickly the charges were filed, do you think that the trial's going to come up pretty fast?
I think they're going to push it. I mean, if they brought charges within a couple of days, I think, you know, we're going to see a trial maybe within 6 months. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, what is there to discover? What is there to look into?
Right.
You know, we have the videos. Does anyone in the area have any more videos on their cell phone? We probably would have seen them. You know, people are going to be interviewed. And other than that, you know, it's really, I think it's going to be largely her testimony. What did she think at the time?
All right. Karen Conti's here, 312-981-7200. If you have a legal question, this one will not take too long, I don't think, before we go to break. What does arbitrary and capricious mean? I hold a professional license, and I've heard enforcement boards are arbitrary and capricious.
Well, what his question relates to what?
I guess he just wants to know what that means. What does it mean?
I think, I mean, it has a lot of different meanings in the law, but just generally it means what it says, which means that, you know, let's just say that a decision that gets made about someone's employment, let's say, I don't know if
he holds a professional license and he's heard that enforcement boards, so probably enforcing that license, are arbitrary and capricious.
Yeah. I mean, that just means what it says, which is means there's no basis for what the decision is. There is no rational basis, no rational decision, and capricious just means that it's at the whim of whoever's making that decision.
So you go in front of a board and they...
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not sure exactly if he's saying that's in the law. Like, there's some laws that won't get overturned on appeal unless it was arbitrary and capricious.
Right.
I just don't know in what context he's asking me the question.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can always call in 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break. More with Karen Conti on the other side. It's 720 WGN. Let's start with a text question. Our 20-year-old son was arrested for the first time, a first-time offense for a domestic battery. No charges were pressed, and the Cook County judge dismissed the case. We're wondering, what is the best and most cost-effective way to have his record expunged?
It can be expunged, and it should be expunged. You know, there's different ways to do it. You can try to do it yourself. You fill out paperwork. You send it in. It should happen when you do it that way. I wouldn't do that. And especially with the 20-year-old, what if he's trying to find a job? What if he's trying to get into graduate school?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his circumstances are, but I would definitely hire a lawyer to do it. If you can email me, I can send you some people who do this. It's not expensive. It's not an expensive thing. I really couldn't tell you exactly how much it would be. If you are impoverished, you can go to the Cabrini Green Legal Aid Clinic, I guess it's called, and they are in the Daly Center during certain times during the week, and you can actually go up to the floor where the records are. They will look up your records. They will find out, you know, what your conviction was or what your arrest was for, and they will do the paperwork for free. They used to do it for anyone. Now I think you have to qualify, and I don't know what that qualification is, but that's something you might want to call about, if see if you're qualified to do that, and maybe because he's 20, he is qualified to for that.
Can you get?
They do a great job, by the way.
Oh, is it only if you were arrested but not charged? If you're convicted, can you get a record
expunged? Actually,
expunged?
You can. You can in certain circumstances. I'm not conversant with all of them, but I believe it has to be 5 years after a conviction for domestic battery. You can apply for an expungement, and there's rules about minors getting convicted. There's certain rules that say that if it's violent crimes, you don't get them expunged.
Okay.
So it's, you know, there's rules about it that I don't know all the rules, but...
Is it easier if you haven't been convicted, if you were just arrested and no charges were filed?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Arrests, you know, because that doesn't prove anything in our court of law, right? There, you're innocent until proven guilty, so why should it even be on your record?
So they shouldn't have any problem getting
They should
that
have
off.
No problem. It's just doing it right because the paperwork has to be sent to the right people, and I just wouldn't want to do it on my own thinking that... You know, going into a job interview that I expunged it, and lo and behold, someone finds it.
Exactly. No good.
Yeah,
so,
no good.
Yeah, take care of it the right way.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the north side. That's where Mike's hanging on. Hi, Mike. You're on WGN.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about suing the city of Chicago. Now, currently, if you look at the city budget, we pay taxes for 12,000 police officers, but there's really only 8,000 or 9,000 on the payroll because of retirements. And they haven't kept up with retirement. Now, when they pull police officers from the north side, and we have districts like the 17th district or 16th district, where more than half of the beats are unfilled on nights and weekends, if you're the victim of a crime, can you sue the city because you paid taxes for police protection and the police protection was withheld?
Really? Hmm. No, you really can't. I mean... The general rule is that would be like a negligence lawsuit. Like, the police are negligent. They owed me a duty to protect me against crime. Someone committed a crime, and therefore you're negligent because you didn't protect me. The problem
well,
with
I'm
that...
I'm not blaming the police, but the thing is the city took tax money, and it used it for other things like asphalt or flower pots or boathouses. Can we go after the mayor and the city council? We're not providing enough police. We provided the tax money. They misspent it on other things.
Right, but I'm still analyzing what your lawsuit would be. I mean, you can't... Just because something is wrong doesn't mean that the law provides a right for it. I mean, I'm not saying that you're morally wrong for thinking this way. What I'm saying is... Who has standing to bring a lawsuit? A person who's injured. If you're injured by a crime, what's your cause of action? It's negligence. Suing the city is almost impossible for negligence, and the criminal act of a third person is usually the cause of the crime, not the police negligence. So, again, I'm sounding like a lawyer, and that might not satisfy as an answer, but that's...
How coincidental that you happen to be a lawyer.
That would be the way that the courts would analyze it, so the answer to your question, sir, is probably not.
All right, good try, Mike.
Yeah,
thanks for the call.
But I hear those kind of things, and I understand where you're coming from. It's like, hey, I pay tax. Where were the police when I was getting mugged?
Well, if they say we're going to have 12,000 police on the force, and there's only 9,000, and our taxes are supposed to be funding 12,000... Well,
there's something
wrong
with that, yes.
There's 3,000 missing.
But the problem is that the link there has to be proximate cause. My damage, whatever what happened to me, is directly proximately caused by X. And I don't think you can really argue that.
True, because most...
Legally.
Well, and even common sense, crimes don't happen when the police are standing there. So my house, I'm not going to get mugged. If a policeman's there, I'm going to get mugged when nobody's around.
Well,
so the police, even if there were the extra 30,000,
you're not guaranteed to walk. I mean, there was just a crime I keep hearing on the news on WGN. It happened a couple of days ago on Michigan and Monroe. Not a bad neighborhood, kind of, you know, Millennium Park, you know, really beautiful area. You know, there was a murder.
Right.
You know, that's three blocks from where I work. I mean, I know that area. I'm shocked because it was in my neighborhood. Again, if you had 30,000 more police in the city, would that crime have been committed? Probably. I mean, I can't imagine there would be police on that block or the next block. They can't be just watching everything.
No.
So you have to prove there's a direct causation.
All right. Well, listen, that lawsuit's up in smoke. We've got a whole lot. I'm sure we'll have more wonderful questions. 312-981-7200. That's how you get your question in for Karen. She will be here. Well, I'll be here until 9 o'clock. So if you have a question, get it in quickly. People will wait, as they always do. And then I will chastise them, as I always do. But Let's give them a chance to get a hold of you during the week because you're that nice a person.
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or better yet, email me kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com.
All right, more questions for Karen on the other side. It's 720 WGN. This is an interesting one. I changed my name a few years ago because I was not getting a job or housing. I had a Muslim name. Still, my old name shows up on my record, and I get discriminated against a lot. How can I remove my old name from my records?
Yeah, you know, you really can't, because when you get a name change, you can go to court and ask for a name change. First of all, it's public record. Second of all, it's really doesn't go, it's not retroactive. It goes forward. So every time you use your name in the future, that's appropriate. But if someone connects your Social Security number to who you were back then, there's really nothing you can do to erase your name from records in the past, like credit or any of like that kind of stuff.
And on a credit check, if they put in your Social Security number, how far back does everything go?
I really don't know.
But your name is still connected to that Social Security number.
You know, and I've seen private investigators run searches on people, criminal searches and asset searches. And it's interesting because when people sometimes change their name or they use a name Margaret or Maggie or they change a spelling or something like that, it all shows up there. You know, you get married, you can change your name. It's all there on the chart. And it comes out from the computer pretty easily. So you're not going to fool. I'm not saying he's trying to fool someone. I understand why he did that. He wanted to Americanize his name because it helps him in the workforce. Got it. But, I mean, if you're trying to avoid something that happened to you, it's probably not going to work if someone really wants to find out.
Well, all right, so let's say this is happening, they're getting discriminated against. What is your recourse if you... How hard is it to prove, first of all, and then what is your recourse?
To prove that he's being discriminated against?
Right.
I mean, who in the world is going to say, I'm sorry, your name is Muhammad, I'm not hiring you?
Right.
You know, people just aren't stupid enough.
Or you can't rent here.
No. You know, and it's all circumstantial. But generally speaking, you never know. Why did you not get that call back? You know, were you not qualified? Were you less qualified than the other 10 people who applied for the job? The only thing you can do is ask. And, you know, that's just an unfortunate thing in this day and age to be discriminated against based on your name. But guess what? I'll bet it happens all the time.
Yeah, especially more and more, I think, with terrorism threats and things like that. Unfortunately, good people whose names sound like something, people make these connections and then, you know.
Yeah, and you know, that's happened, though, historically all over the place. People with names that sound Irish but aren't Irish get jobs. And, you know, so, you know.
Or become judges.
Yeah, and people regularly will say, that sounds like an African-American name. Well, what is an African-American name? It is or it isn't. I mean, you never know.
Right.
You know,
your name's
and people run for judge and don't put their picture on the literature if their name sounds like something that might cross over lines. If your name is... Because your name is Joan Murphy, does that mean you could be Irish? Does that mean you could be African American? Could that mean that, you know, it
could be anybody?
And so you appeal to different groups by playing the field that way. I mean, it's
very tricky. All right, I want to ask you this. It kind of goes back to the caller earlier who talked about suing the city because of the police, so we pay taxes and stuff like that. But this is a little more concrete. A friend of mine walking down the street. And, you know, the sidewalks in Chicago in the neighborhoods are not always kept up the best.
You've this is a little more concrete.
Right. Fantastic. Very good. Very quick. That's your legal mind jumping in. So, you know, a lot of sometimes the one piece of the sidewalk is up.
Yes.
There's a lip, 2 or 3 inches, whatever. And we're all, you know, we all try to watch where we're going, but sometimes we don't. Trips, falls, breaks his nose, ends up in the hospital for a night. Is there anything he can do about, you know, can he sue the city? Can the city be held liable for that if their sidewalks are in disrepair?
The answer is probably no. Okay. And here's why. There's two reasons. One is suing a municipality, whether it's a school that's a public school or a city or a fire department, whatever, anything that's owned by the government, you have to prove more than just negligence. Okay. So if you had a board, you know, like an uneven floor in your home and someone was at one of your parties and fell, then you'd be subject to negligence. Did you know about it? Did you do something about it? Could you have made it more safe? Those are the issues. But when it comes to a municipality, you got to prove more than just negligence. It's all that sovereign immunity. That's back from the day when the kings were never wrong. So that's
our
still
kings are wrong.
So that archaic law. That's right.
A lot.
We're going to see two of them on Monday. but I think that, you know, you're going to have to prove that that they actually caused the problem. Probably it was one of those things where the tree was growing and, you know,
Unless
the city knew about it.
That's what I was going to ask.
There were five different accidents there, and five different people injured themselves, and there were complaints, and then they didn't do anything.
Okay, so if there's a record of people complaining, even if the residents, had called, we need this fixed outside our building, whatever, there's a number of that, and that's something that an attorney can find out, correct?
That's true. You can, and it's not always easy. For instance, I had a case, actually I worked on it, it really wasn't my case because I don't do personal injury, but a woman was jogging, and when you have trees on the sidewalk, they sometimes the city will put those grates on,
right?
And the grates will let the water come in, but will kind of surround that dirt area.
Yeah,
some of those are not put on correctly, or if you fall right in that hole where the tree is, you can hurt yourself. And I had a client who had that happen, and the city did pay because there were issues with those kinds of grates in the past.
Okay.
It wasn't affixed properly, and they kind of knew about it. So that was a little bit different than just an uneven sidewalk, which I assume we have all over the city.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And, this guy doesn't want to be litigious, but then somebody else was talking to him and said, well, you might want to look into suing the city and seeing what's going on. And then somebody else had a story, but her story had... There had been seven complaints up to this point.
Yes.
There was a track record of the city ignoring fixing this particular place.
That's right. And, but again, feel free to call a personal injury lawyer, or call me and I'll refer you to someone because maybe they know something, that happened in that area, or maybe they are aware that the city is paying for certain of these things.
Well, how would people get a hold of you to get that referral?
You can call me, concretely at 312-332-7800 or kconti@kcontilaw.com.
In fact, the guy who fell down is outside. We just answered your question.
We have two witnesses.
We just answered your question. Out of luck. Can't really sue the city. Unfortunately, that's too bad. So that's not good. But I told you I'd ask, and so we asked. So there you go. Let's take a quick break. More with Karen Conti. If you have a legal question, 312-981-7200. We will get those questions answered because that's what we do. That's, that's the kind of people we are, Karen. That's the kind of people you are.
We are those kind of people. We are the world.
We are people. Let's do this, WGN. You ever been apple picking?
No, I haven't, but I saw some. I saw some yesterday. We were driving through Wisconsin, and it did look like fun. And by the way, we were just in Richmond, which is the cutest little town, and we went into Anderson's.
Did you?
We did.
What kind of treats did you get?
We didn't buy anything. We were just looking.
Just browsing?
Yeah.
I'm
lactose intolerant, so chocolate doesn't agree with me, but it smelled good.
Listen, nothing beats those treats. Their candies are delicious.
I felt like saying that when I walked in.
Nothing beats these trees. Did you tell them who you were?
No, I didn't.
You didn't drop your name?
No.
Hello, I'm Karen Cuthbert, attorney at law. You may have heard me on WGN. I would have done it.
I'm not a big shot like you, Brian.
Please, I'm going to use your name when I walk in there.
I'm just a little shot.
Listen, I got no shot. I don't know if you know this. I'm contemplating suing Cody for disparaging my intelligence.
Is that right?
Yeah, we were doing
the
podcast. Okay. No, truth is not a defense.
No.
He intimated that I was not smart. I don't even think he intimated it. He came right out. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I mean, I can neither confirm nor deny.
I see.
This name calling, there has to be an end to it.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
When the election happens, I hope it's over.
No.
Because they're encouraging all of us to name call. I feel like...
How much encouragement do you think we really needed, though?
Well, Cody, you and Cody need none. Because you're at each other's throat most of the time.
Well, listen, it's a... tight environment. We've
you would
got
be too
high
if you
pressure.
Were, you would be too if you work with someone that dumb all the time.
Oh,
that's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This could be settled in a physical manner. So
it could,
I will have
it?
Your number on speed dial, because where does manslaughter stop and more serious crimes begin? What's the line? Since I've talked about it, now we've probably gone into premeditation, haven't we?
I think you're premeditating.
How do I make it look like an accident?
You're sneering. You're sneering at Cody. If anyone's watching, there's a sneer going on here.
Is that right?
It's on the webcam.
Listen, you can hide. You know where we are. Let's get back to legal questions.
Why don't we?
Our silliness is not really why you're here. I enjoy it, and but it's not really why you're here. Bill's in Des Plaines. That's why we're here. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, good evening.
Good. What's your question, Bill?
So I was fortunate enough to win a prize package, a travel prize package for an overseas sporting event.
Oh.
And it was for approximately little over $23,000.
Wow, congrats.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they told me to go out and buy a lotto ticket that evening that I won, and that didn't pan out. But anyway, so I'm going to get a 1099 for the prize value, which is $23,000, as I say, a little over $23,000. I've kept independent records, you know, third party, you know, airfare, hotel, what we were put up, the sporting event, et cetera, et cetera. And I come up with a prize package value of about actually $14,000, which is quite a bit of difference between what the prize company claims and what I come up with via, you know, third party independent sites. My question is, I've asked the prize company to give me a detailed listing of how they came up with $23,000. Because I'm going to ask them to hopefully submit an amended 1099. They refuse to do so and say they're just going to submit a 1099 for $23,000 plus. Is there any legal liability that a prize company has to release how they came up with the valuation?
No, I don't think so at all. But I think the question that you should be asking should probably be to an accountant. And the question should be, if your valuation of this is different than what they're saying with the 1099, can you, with proof, unilaterally claim that that was only worth the $14,000 that you came up with? And if you papered your file and kept that in your file and the IRS were to come after you for the excess, could you win that? And do you want to engage in that with the IRS? So all of those questions, I think would be better asked to a CPA, and to make them do something. I mean, you're probably not going to make them do that. Question is, even if you could, even if there was a right to get a technically correct 1099, are you going to sue over that? You tried doing it the right way. It sounds like you mm-hmm. asked them, and they said, no, we're going to issue it. Question is, can you override that? And I think that's a fair question for a CPA. I've got a really smart, good CPA who I work with on these kinds of things. And if you want to send me, a quick email, I can refer him to you.
What's that email address?
kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right. Good luck, Bill. Congrats again. That's a nice win. I know from winning game shows in the past and winning chunks of money and prizes and stuff, like the prizes I won, they always value higher than
you can get on your own. Sound.
Right. And it's also, you know, how they could say, well, we get it from these places that charge more than, you know, if you're a consumer, you might be able to find different sites and you're always bargain hunting. We deal with this and it's one price and that's what it is.
Right.
You know, cause even with a hotel, you know, you and I can find a hotel. We can find the same room for vastly different costs.
Exactly.
And so I think that's what it is with prizes. And I know on the game shows when I won money, it was, well, that the cash ones, it was easy. All right. You won.
Sure.
Here's your cash, and that's fine. But then there were some with prizes, and it was that same kind of deal.
I run into this just briefly with when people settle cases, and they say, do I have to pay taxes on it? Well, if it really, you know, if it's in place of income, so an employment case, if they pay $100,000, that's probably lost income, which is really income, which means you pay taxes on it.
Do you have to pay? Now, if that's the case, and I have, say I get the $100,000 judgment, I have to give a third of it to my attorney.
Yes.
Am I paying taxes on the total or
probably
just
not
what I clear?
Probably you don't pay taxes on the attorney's fees because that's a cost attendant to getting your money. And then there's like iffy things like emotional distress. If you get money for emotional distress and pain and suffering, does that count as taxable income? And again, as a lawyer, I don't really like answering those questions because I'm not sure of the answer. I would probably defer to a good accountant who's going to say, yes, the IRS looks at this as income and you better pay taxes on it and declare it or not. And those things have changed over the years, too.
Back to the initial question, they don't have to, a company doesn't have to, isn't legally bound, really, to say, well, this is how we came up. Here's we got this from vendor A and this from vendor B, and it costs this and this and this, and then we...
I don't know of a law that requires them to accurately value the prize money. I mean, could you say it was a fraud for them to give you a 1099 that was worth double what it actually was worth? I don't know. I just don't, you know, I don't see
think
lawsuit.
Back. Remember when Wheel of Fortune was first on and you used to go shopping?
Yeah.
And, you know, well, here's a lamp
for $1,200.
Right.
You know, I just saw that at Kohl's for $38.50. Now it's costing me $5. So there's always that kind of thing.
Yeah. So. That's a good question, though. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
So a lot of people now are probably watching the Bears game, and which is why some of the questions are coming in slow. Can we sue the Bears for just sucking so bad and wasting
really?
Our time? Because they're losing 24-3. It's not
is
even
that
halftime.
Right? Yeah. And I know I'm not a big football fan, but I'm still on pins and needles about the Cubs. Why do I bring in another sport team right now to worry about?
You've got things
to
worry about till October.
About.
All right. And then it's going
to
be.
I'm trying not to pay attention to the Cubs. I'm like, okay, just tell me when we're at the end. Wake me up when it's over.
You are the nervous Nelly of fans.
Well, you know.
That's all right. Hal is in Woodridge. Hi, Hal.
You're seeing Al?
Hal with an H.
No, I'm Al.
All right, Al without an H. Hi, Al.
How you doing?
Good. What's your question?
My question is, there was a woman that lived on my block, and I felt sorry for her. She had three kids. Her husband's a deadbeat, doesn't hardly work, doesn't hardly make any money, and she needed her vehicle, and somebody had worked on it, and they said, you owe me X amount of dollars, and you're not going to get it until you give me the money. So me being a nice guy, she came and asked me, and I says, yeah, I'll lend you the money. Okay. And now she avoided me after a while, and she wouldn't talk to me and everything, this and that. I guess she figured if I don't pay attention to you, the debt goes away. I was wondering, what's my chances of suing her in small claims court?
Al, how much is it?
$400.
Okay. Yeah, you could sue her in small claims. It would have you'd have to go to the county courthouse where you live with her, you know, it's the same county, and you'll fill out the paperwork, and the sheriff has to serve her. And the problem with this, Al, is that you will get a judgment against her. You'll go to the court, and you'll say, I gave her the money. You'll probably want proof that you gave her the cash if you have any kind of receipt or IOU or canceled check or whatever it is that you have. And maybe she won't even show up to court. You'll get a judgment against her, but that's when the fun starts because – the judgment means nothing. That doesn't mean she has to pay it. In fact, she probably won't. Knowing that you owe her, she owes you the money, she's not paying you, she's going to get this judgment. It's going to go on her credit report. It's probably a crummy credit report anyway. And you're going to have to levy against her. You're going to have to garnish her wages. You're going to have to put a lien on her car, or a lien on her house. And then you have to wait. So, you know, you can go and do it, and maybe that'll prompt her to pay, but... You know, having a judgment is the first step only.
Here's the thing. I don't have any proof that I loaned her the money. I was a nice guy. I gave her cash.
Okay.
You know what they say about nice guys, Al?
Finish last.
You got it, brother.
Of course, the Cubs have been nice guys, and yes, they have been finishing last, too.
Well,
but Al, I think you can still go to court. This is an oral agreement. I mean, you will stand in front of the judge, and you'll be sworn under oath, and you said, on this date, I gave her $400 in cash, and, you know, and let her, if she going to lie about it? Is she going to stand in court and say, no, you didn't give me the cash? You know, so just because you don't have anything in writing or a witness doesn't mean you can't win your case based upon your testimony. Why would you be filing a small claim? Why would you be bothering unless you did give her the money? So
good luck, Al.
Yeah,
That'll teach you to be nice. Listen, we are out of time. But how can people get a hold of you during the week?
You can call me, 312-332-7800, or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
And you'll be on with Steve Cochran Wednesday morning at 6:40, and we will see you next Sunday, correct?
That sounds great.
Fantastic. Have a wonderful week.
You too.
We'll come back and wrap things up after this, WGN. Thank you for listening and being part of the program. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Cody. Did I say that correctly? I know I'm not... the brightest. Hey, Wednesday morning, be watching WGN-TV Morning News because the cast of Tony and Tina will be on Around Town with Anna Balaval. So Wednesday morning after 8 o'clock, we'll be on WGN-TV, which will be a lot of fun. This is good. We're done. Rick Hogan comes your way after the news here on 720 WGN. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric Chicago.com. 9 o'clock, Roger Badish.